Now what we're going to do is pick up the study where I left off some time back in James chapter 4. But now, last week we finished up the Gospel of Matthew. Took us a long time to get through it. But we had talked about the difference between the so-called Great Commission and what our commission is today. Now what I want to go by that is this. When we rightly divide, we realize a lot of times over the years we've picked up terms that we say that really aren't for us. We know Paul says in Acts 13 and other verses, we're supposed to get the gospel to all the world. But our commission that we have is different than what Christ gave His disciples in that Great Commission. If we don't look through the lens of our mail when we're reading that, I want to give you a couple things that a friend of mine sent me, and I'm going to go over these real quickly. But he says the Great Commission is not followed by Charismatics, Baptists, Church of Christ, etc. Because if it is, we're not doing what it says. Here's the Charismatics. They do not begin their ministry at Jerusalem. Do you know that Luke 24:47, 24:49, 24:52, Acts 1:4, Acts 1:8, so on and so forth, tells that they're supposed to begin in Jerusalem? Well, they didn't do that. They don't teach whosoever Christ, because Christ said, teach whatsoever I commanded. Well, Christ commanded they sell all their earthly possessions. That's one thing all of them leave out. If you're going to follow Christ, like He said, and do everything He commanded, you better sell everything you have. He said, you need to sell it all. And that's what they were doing in early Acts, while they were expecting the kingdom to come, and they weren't going to need any earthly possession because Christ was going to give them everything. So they don't do that. All right? Also, just a couple other little things they don't do. They don't give of your possessions to those who ask. Matthew 5, verse 42, that constitution of the kingdom, He said, if your neighbor asks of you, you need to give to it. They don't do that. They don't turn the other cheek when somebody hits them, according to Matthew 5:39, so on and so forth. When somebody steals your coat, they don't give them the cloak also. That's a command. Christ said that. Now, somebody steals my coat now, I'm going to say, hold on just a minute now, fella. That's my coat. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Why? Because that's mail to them, and if we don't ride the device, we'll put ourselves under stuff that don't belong to us. You think about this. They don't really speak with new tongues. Why? Because tongues are languages. He's all this hobbly gobbly, hobbly gobbly, hoshly shun tie, like my friend says, untie a bow tie. Fee fi fo fum stuff. That stuff's dumb. We don't have to look. I thank God that He gives us the ability not to look foolish in front of people that we're supposed to be showing them the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting up there and some of that stuff they do, barking like dogs and running around, just acting like idiots. Man, the Bible says you're supposed to be doing things decently and in order. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Amen and shout and praise the Lord in the glory of God and doing it because you love Him. There's nothing like it. I've even been in church services before where somebody did get up. Hey, I was in one time. A guy got up and ran out the door praising God. Nothing wrong with that at all. He meant it though. But this stuff, just doing stuff for a show, get out of here. That's charismatics doing that junk. Why? Trying to make you think they're real spiritual. They do not take up serpents, and the ones that do get bit and have to go to the hospital, a lot of times they die. They will not drink any deadly thing. That's the thing they leave out. That's in that thing. Then Mark 16:18, in that reference to that commission He gave them, He said, you can drink any deadly thing. Well, guess what? In the tribulation, when all this mail comes back relevant to them again, and it will be, it's going to be their mail. Guess what? They'll be able to drink any, they'll be able to drink that bitter water that's going to be there. When that wormwood hits the ground, all that water, they're going to be able to drink it. It won't bother them. But the rest of the world can't do it. See, that stuff, that's their mail. When they lay hands on the sick, they do not recover. This is one thing that makes me mad. All these folks that spent all this time, saying, well, all these years, yeah, they really are healing everything. They got their chance at, when COVID came. Why didn't they go to the COVID wards and heal all the COVID patients then? They got the chance. You know one thing COVID did when all that stuff hit? It showed you a lot of false doctrine. A lot of these people making all these false prophecies that they could not prove with the Bible. Well, signs of the times, you know, we're going to make it with the good, make it to the end of the year. We're still here now. You know, they'll say, well, a lot of them said, you know, if you're not coming to church, you're not saved. Well, some of the folks that believe that still ain't going to church today. Yeah. I guess that doctrine of illusion is salvation. Does something happen with that? You see how they had to change their doctrine? All those people had them false prophecies. Guess what? Their ministry should shut down, will they? No. They'd just come up with another lie to cover it up. All those people that said they could heal on all this stuff, and they didn't, guess what? Their ministry is shutting down? No, they're not shutting down. Why? A bunch of liars. They'll just come up with another lie. And what I'm telling you is, they're not following it. Now, the Baptists, they don't preach belief in water baptism for salvation. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, what is it? That's not, when people give me that verse right there, I've heard them say, "Well, y'all just don't believe." No, because that's not my mail. I don't even have to argue about it. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Why? If somebody has to get me in the water, that has to do with a whole different part of somebody else's salvation. Why? In the tribulation, the Bible says that they have to openly confess, Matthew chapter 10, that to get down in the water. And that's what you go right back to that deal. While they got healing, they're going to be able to heal in the tribulation. And say, what about somebody sick that couldn't get down in the water? They'll heal them and they'll get down in the water. That's a completely different dispensation. Our dispensation, man, nothing's connected to it. You can get saved right there where you're at. You can get saved in your pickup. You can get saved and die the next minute. Well, people do it. Why? We're in a different dispensation. And we have to get that thing right. Why? Otherwise, we'll put people in bondage. Salvation is so simple, a little child can get it. All you have to do is realize you're a sinner, deserving hell, and that Christ took your place on the cross. And all you have to do is say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died and you're buried and you rose again. I'm trusting that and that alone."
Amen.
Save you right there where you're at. Say, "I'm just too bad." I've heard them say it. I've heard people say, "I'm too bad." Man, if I went to church, the lightning would strike. Brother, let it strike.
That's right.
Get me, I take us both up with you, brother. If you look, if you trust Jesus Christ, it don't matter how bad you are, He died for the worst of the worst of the worst. Why, we're all sinners. Ground level at the cross. Well, that's that thing. We're carrying that message out to the world. Our commission is to carry a message out, whether we live or die, to the entire world, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And brother, if He saved me, He can save you, and He can save anybody. If we get that message out, it's not go out here, feed the poor and all this type of stuff. If you want to do all that stuff, that's fine. But that has to do with you trying to look good in front of other people a lot of times. So, well, look what we did. Did you get the gospel out?
That's right. That's
you got these people, "Well, we feed the poor. We got a program. We send food down there and feed the poor." Okay, well, if y'all getting the gospel out to them? No, we don't send no trap. We don't offend nobody. So in other words, you're going to let them grow up and die and go to hell without Christ.
Yeah.
I'd rather them, look, this is where people get, they get in a whole different realm. They think you're mean. I'd rather them die a child,
yeah,
a starvation, and go to heaven. Then I had to go down there and feed them until they're 14, 15 years old and grow up to be an infidel and die and go to hell. So y'all just rough. You put more emphasis on the physical than you do the spiritual. That's what's wrong with this world. You say, they think we're crazy. But I can tell you something. You keep putting that stuff on the physical, brother, and you'll get off base so fast, and then before long, all you can think is about physical things instead of spiritual things. Our whole goal is to get to heaven, man.
That's it.
Lord Jesus, man, hey, you saved me. I just want to serve you till you take me home.
Yeah.
Man, I'm on the way, too. Whether I go there in a good way or a bad way, I'm still going.
That's right.
See, that the Baptists don't turn the cheek. They don't sell all their earthly possession. They don't speak with new tongues. They don't take up service. That's all. Now, here's the Church of Christ. They don't begin their ministry at Jerusalem, like the Scripture teaches. They do not teach whatsoever Christ commanded, such as selling all their earthly possessions. They don't turn a cheek. They don't give their cloak, and so on and so forth. So what I'm saying is, really, they're not following the commission to preach the gospel of the kingdom. But we, if we're following the commission Paul says, he tells you you're supposed to take to all the nations the gospel, the grace of God that He saves to the uttermost, like people say, whatever. We're taking the gospel. You know what our deal is? Our deal is whatever it takes. Get that gospel out. Get scripture signs up. Get tracts out. That invest in spiritual things and grow closer to Christ. Get them saved. and get them close to Christ and let Christ work in and through them. Not try to make them molded to how we are and I'm the model Christian. No, sir. Christ, you're supposed to get them close to the Lord Jesus Christ and He'll mold them and make them into what He wants them to be. I don't want nobody to be like me. I don't want my kids to be like me. I want them to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? I am imperfect. I'm just an imperfect man. I want to lead people and try to be an encouragement to people and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you something. I fail as a man. The more I read that Bible right there, the more I realize, Lord, I'm so far from what I need to be. But you know what we can do? I can point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll never fail them. Never. Never fail them. Now, you got things that's required under that kingdom. Now, I'm trying to get into James here in a minute, and we'll get into some of this stuff. Under the gospel of the kingdom, this is how you can see how people get messed up and say, well, if you're not working, you're not saved. They're getting the messages wrong, the mail wrong. They had to have the baptism of repentance. That's what that baptism means. It's a baptism of repentance. Now, with us, my repentance is tied into Jesus Christ. I repent of the sin of unbelief. A lot of people say, I got to repent of all my sins. And people say, well, I couldn't get saved unless I stopped drinking or I stopped smoking or stopped chewing, stopped fighting and stopped all this stuff. That's not salvation. Stopping all that stuff is not salvation. Jesus will help you once you trust Him. But if you still done it after you get saved, you're still saved.
That's right.
Salvation is in a person, Jesus Christ. You trust Him and He slowly but surely helps you get closer to Him. You got a lot of these folks, man, they're so hung up on that. Why? They've heard that preaching. If you still doing so and so, you're not saved. I can take that preacher and show him 25 things in that Bible he's not doing. It won't take me being around him very long. Why? Excess of anything is a sin.
That's right.
Sleeping too much, sleeping too little is a sin. Talking too much, talking too little, joking too much, joking too little is a sin. You got to be moderate and all these things. Eating too much, eating too little is a sin. You're supposed to take care of all that stuff. There's more directions under Pauline epistle than there is under anything else. Why? We got the sending of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
they say, oh, so-and-so drinking, he ain't saved. You old rascal, you eat more than he does. Just as bad as anything. I'm telling you why. You got these people, y'all, and they're putting you under things. The Bible is not putting you under. Why? We got our mail. They got their mail.
That's right.
And you get these things to help you. They had a baptism of repentance. They had to sell all they have. They had to forgive others of their sins against them. That's all in Matthew. They had to maintain good works. Matthew 5:20, 5:48, 16:27, 19:16-19, John 5:29. Why? Even little sins such as calling someone a fool. You know that's not us because Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians.
Right.
And he didn't go to hell. I've called people fools. They, you know, but in the gospel, you know, I've heard them say, in the gospel it said over me, you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of judgment. That's in the gospel of the kingdom. It's a completely different deal with us. I've thought of somebody, and I'm telling you, I know people, and they really are. They're fools, man. I'm going to tell you somebody who the Bible says a fool. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You get somebody and they say there's no God. You know what? I don't have to, am I being mean? He's a fool. You got to be a fool not to look out there and see the stuff that's going on in this universe and watch how this thing's set up completely organized. And say, well, it just come together like that. I tell you what you do. You take this paper right here, shred it up in 1,000 pieces and throw it up in the air. And the chances of it coming down and coming back together like it's supposed to in that page, that's the chances of all this stuff right here just coming about and being like it is. Crazy fools. Alright, now you got to do works meet for repentance. You have to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, stuff like that. Bring forth fruit to abide in God's love and things like that. Look, I'm in God's love whether I do something good or not. Now I may be in or out of fellowship, and we teach that. I preach on sin. But I'm telling you this, sin is not going to keep you from heaven. It's the sin of unbelief that keeps you from heaven in this age. You have to keep that thing. Doing the will of God, keeping His words, Matthew 7:21-27. Enduring to the end of the tribulation, Matthew 24, and all these other verses. Don't take the mark of the beast. All these things. Don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You have to watch for the second coming of the Lord and be faithful. You can't hate your brethren. You got to take care of the Jews and the believers. That's all that stuff. That's why I keep preaching. Don't go past the church age. Don't go to that tribulation, man. Do not go. Why? If you do, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. You ain't going to believe. You ain't going to believe what's going to come through that thing. So what you have is, it's Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 21. That's, you can devotionalize that stuff and there's nothing wrong with it. But when you get down in the meat of that thing, it's different than what was given to us in our instructions today. And we have to rightly divide that. Now, why am I saying that? We're about to get into James. And as we get in the book of James 1 verse 1 says it's written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. These books were written early. And until, see what you have is you got the cross.
That's right.
Alright, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 17, it gives the definition for where a testament is. It says a testament is of force after men are dead. So everything from the cross back is Old Testament. After the cross, you're under the New Testament, all of this New Testament. But as far as the church, until the Apostle Paul was saved, they didn't know anything about our doctrines and stuff like that. So you got all this stuff right here. They're still looking for the kingdom to come. Well, Stephen gets stoned in Acts 7, and Christ goes to the Gentiles through the Apostle Paul. But they didn't even know the doctrines until it was settled in Acts 15.
That's right, Brother.
So you got these early books that were written, and they were written within the view of, in the mindset of, the kingdom's coming, kingdom's coming. So when you read the Hebrews and James, they're still giving distinctions. Hebrews and to the Hebrews, well, in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek.
That's right.
There's no Hebrew. He don't recognize no Hebrews once you're saved. So what you have is you got all those books, Hebrews through Revelation, doctrinally addressed to a group who's looking for the coming kingdom, and they didn't know anything about a church age and the body of Christ. So what happens is, Christ stops that. He stops his dealing with the Jews and puts a church age in and stops Daniel's 70th week. So Daniel, the last part of Daniel's 70th week is on hold until this is over. Nobody knows. People's tried to guess, and some of the smartest people you've ever seen in your life have tried to guess it, and nobody knows.
That's right.
The rapture could, I don't care what nobody says, the rapture could happen today, and the rapture could happen 100 years from now. Now, I know a lot of people say, there's no way, and I believe, and I hope it happens in our lifetime. But I'm going to tell you something. I've looked at them verses, and I've got people who know the Bible a whole lot better than me. And they've looked at it, and they said, the way God's dealing with time right now, you don't know where you're at on that scale right there. Why?
Right.
He stopped the time as far as His dealings with Israel, and He counts time differently. So guess what? One day the rapture is going to happen. And then, you know what, after the rapture, then you have the tribulation. And that's, He's going to finish out Daniel's 73 week in this time right here. And during this time, Hebrews through Revelation is going to be their mail right in there. And that's why we're going to get over here in the book of James. Guess what? It's written doctrinally to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So when I'm reading, I'm going to give you some devotional application. But when you get over in the book of James, man, you get some stuff right there. And I could, if I was one of these preachers that wanted to put you in chains, I could take the book of James and put chains all over you, man.
That's right, Brother Chase.
Get over there, where him knoweth you good, doeth it not to him sin. And I could come up with my whole list of things that I thought that was good to do. And if you didn't do it, you're just the biggest sinner in the world. That's what they do. And see how they put the chains on you, snap you? No. You got liberty to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. You go right to your mail. Some man says, well, you know, it's a sin to have short hair. Where does it say that in the Bible at?
That's right, Brother.
What are you going to do about black people who can't have long hair? You going to put them out and say they can't have... You see what I'm saying? I think long hair is pretty and everything else. But you got some of these people and they got short hair. They're not no sinner because they got short hair.
That's right.
You got some of these folks say, you wear wire rimmed glasses. You remember back, what was back in the 70s? They was big on them. Well, where does that say in the Bible? It's crazy. What I'm telling you is we have to rightly divide. And we get over here, there's some neat things in here. But we got to realize where we're at. And so we're going to be in James, this book is doctrinally to some people who's going to be in the Great Tribulation. Why is Hebrews through James set over here? That Bible is placed together by the Holy Spirit in a dispensational manner. If you don't believe in dispensation, which that is a Bible word, God's dispensing His grace in that time the way He says He's going to do. Why? Just like a Pez dispenser, He's dispensing out grace in that way in that dispensation. Now what he's doing is right now, he's dispensing grace free alone. You don't have to do nothing. All you got to do is trust. But I'm going to tell you something. After this dispensation's over, the next he's going to be dispensing grace, and guess what's going to be added along with it? Stuff like this in the book of James. And I'll tell you something, you have to get over here and get that stuff right. Well, that's not for me. You get these people and get over here, I know over here, and they get over here and some of this to tell you some of the craziest thing you ever heard in your life. And I say, all right, well, what about over here in James where it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick? Let's see you do that then right quick. Well, that's a completely different dispensation. I know sometimes we've prayed for people and they made it and sometimes they don't. Well, we're in a different dispensation. And you put in some of them people and I've heard them say, well, you just must not pray in faith. You dirty rascal, you. Why? That's wrong. Y'all see where you can get on that stuff and they'll say, well, you just didn't have enough faith. I tell you what, that makes me, you talking about getting in the flesh, I just want to hit them in the head with a hammer. And well, I know you can't do that. And he said, man, you're a preacher, brother child. I know that. That's why you have to ask God, Lord, I know that's wrong, and fight that flesh. That's wrong. Why? The Bible said not a brawler. The Bible said not a striker. I have to go right through my mail and say, I know that's not right. And you get over here, well, not a brawler, not a striker. What about in the Old Testament? If you won't rightly divide, Nehemiah over here, he's snatching him up by the hair of the head. You remember reading that? Said he snatched him up by the hair. You imagine a preacher today say, I'm going by the Bible. Somebody make you mad, he snatch a man up by the hair of the head and throw him out. You can't go. You got to take that Bible and rightly divide it. So we get over here in James chapter 4, verse number 10. Here's a good verse. We can devotionalize it, but we give you the doctrine too. He says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. That's a good thing. Humble yourself. I believe you ought to humble yourself. Be humble your stumble and things like that. And that's good application. Paul teaches to be humble. But I'm going to tell you something. You get over here and you get this thing, humble yourself. And as far as you got the tribulation period and you get this thing where look at 1 Peter chapter 5, just a few pages over in your Bible. Hold it there. 1 Peter chapter 5. And show you this thing dispensationally. A lot of good stuff in 1 Peter, but you'll see, but the end of all things all through there, and you'll see the time has come is in there and stuff like that, and it's talking about a lot of tribulation stuff. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you when? In due time. In the time to come. What you have is you get over here, and man, as you read these verses that have to do with this, what he's saying is that they'll humble themselves in that tribulation period. God's going to exalt them in due time in that coming kingdom. He said, you got to humble. Why? Because look, Jews right now have been given the ability to make a lot of money. Okay, well, when it comes to the tribulation period, they're supposed to sell all they have and give to the poor. That's going to make them very humble. Why? Because I'm going to tell you something, Jude. Now, look, I'm not talking God. I'm not talking bad about your people. He knows that, and y'all know that. But Jews have a big problem with being humble. They're very smart people.
Yes, they are.
And you know what he's saying? You better humble yourselves. I know you got all that money, but you're selling all you have. The kingdom's coming. I'll exalt you in due time. I know it's going to be humbling. I know you're like that rich man over there in Lazarus. And I know you're like the rich man. You don't want to give to Lazarus. But you better give to Lazarus. And humble yourself. Well, I'll exalt you when I come back. They've got to get that thing. And I'll tell you something. There's a good devotion for us on that thing. You know what? A lot of us, we don't want to humble ourselves. And a lot of people don't want to humble themselves to get salvation. They can get exalted if they get saved. You can devotionalize it. You know what's wrong with them? They're just down. They just don't want the weight of the world's on them.
That's right.
Well, you get the Lord Jesus Christ died to save sinners and died for the world, took the whole sin of the world on him. He's the only one that can lift the weight of the world. You got that thing, and you've ever seen that thing where Atlas, and he's holding that world on his back like this right here? That guy dropped that thing, he'd crush him. You know the one who can really hold the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said, under the mighty hand of God. My friend, I don't have to worry about the mighty hand of God. Why? I'm part of his hand. When you're saved, you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You don't have to worry about being squeezed by his hand. Man, I hope I'm kept in it. I'm part of his body.
That's right.
When you get saved, you're joined to him. Well, them, they're not in the body of Christ. It's a completely different thing. And you get over here and you see that. He said he'll lift you up. And when you read Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, verses like that over in Isaiah, he's going to lift them up all the way up with their head. They're going to be the head and not the tail. They're going to be plumb up to the head. He's going to lift them all the way up. Look here also, he says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law. Now here comes the law back in. And judgeth the law, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but are y'all a doer of the law?
That's right,
J. You get over there in this thing right here, I'd like to see you do the law. Well, Hebrews, amends. Here's Hebrews, then James. Hebrews, James chapter 7 verse 12 said it is a change of the law. It gives the amendments to the Old Testament law where they're able to follow it through the book of Hebrews, but on this side of the blood. And see, you got these things right here, and they're going to be under that. It's a first fruits of that new covenant. It's a whole deal. Why? He's going to put them under a new covenant, and he's going to put that law in their hearts where they're able to do that thing. Now, talking about some of these people. Now, I can keep the Ten Commandments. Yeah, you keep them in your right pocket. Talking about keeping the Sabbath and all this stuff. You can't keep it. Why? It's a lot of people, I'm not going to church on Sunday and that's not right and everything. Man, you get these people and they're confused as a baby raccoon.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't even know what they're talking about. They light a fire on the Sabbath. They drive to church in their car and stuff, lighting the fire. Here they are guilty of the law, picking up sticks. They'll go home and work after church, so to speak. You ain't supposed to do a thing. You ain't supposed to travel very far. They don't know what they're talking about. You see how, if you don't put that Bible in right perspective. Now he says, speak not evil. One of another. I said evil. hold your place there and look at Hebrews chapter 10. One of another. Now think about that saying there. One another. I looked at that phrase. I've got that Bible program. It's so neat where you can look up different phrases in the Bible and see where they are. It's so neat. Now this one another shows up in another place in Hebrews. Just a few pages back. And I want to show you this. Now he says, don't speak evil one of another. Now, if you look at that grouping there, brethren and things like that, Hebrews 10, look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And watch this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to do good works. See, love. Why? They're supposed to love their brethren. The Bible said in 1 John, he that if you don't love, you're not of God. That love is showing that love for the brethren. Watch what else it says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. See, he said over there, speak not evil one of another. You see how that one another, you know what he's saying? You're going to be right there together. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why? It's going to be a temptation to see all that's going on. Start fighting on the inside. Now, you know, we have to be careful just like them. One thing is bad things happen. You know, one of the biggest things people stop doing when bad stuff goes on is going to church when that's the place you need to go.
That's right.
Why? To be around other people that love you. And man, I'm going to tell you something. As bad as things are going to be going on in the tribulation, you know what he says? Y'all just keep assembling. That's crazy. You're talking about stars falling from heaven, the hell's opening up, and things are flying around. Man, people is acting crazy, the animals are going crazy. He said, y'all just keep assembling.
That's right,
well, God's able to protect you.
Yes, He will.
Supernatural. You know what's happening, spiritually speaking, when we get to meeting around each other and stuff like that? Supernaturally, God is able to supernaturally protect you and keep you spiritually in line with Him. That's the best thing. If our physical goes, that's one thing. But I tell you something. It's a bad thing to have a good physical body, but you're mentally not doing what it's supposed to be doing. The best thing to do is be safe spiritually. And God's able to keep you safe, and we edify and help each other. That's what that thing's about. It's a blessing. So he tells them that over in the book of James. And you think about this too. By speaking evil of his brother, he's really speaking evil of the law and saying that that law is ineffective to bring his brother to Christ at the end of the tribulation period. Why? Because if they'll do what God says in that thing and follow that, that helps them endure to the end. But if he's speaking evil of his brother and saying, "Ah, I'm judging him, there's no way he's going to be able to make it." He's talking evil of the law. And he said, "Hey man, you're not the judge. God's the judge. The Bible says promotion cometh not from the east or the west or the south, but God is judge." That puts him in the north. And God's up here looking at the whole thing, and God's saying, "Hey, if he'll do what I'm telling him to do, he'll make it."
That's right. Yeah.
And you know, for us, guess what we have to do? We can't judge other folks. That guy never come to be saved. You better be careful with that attitude. Some of the people I thought that would never, ever start serving God end up being the best folks you ever seen in your life. And some of the people you thought would make it, they get to the place where they're not humble anymore, and God sets them on the shelf and says, "Okay, we'll see." Why? Because God can use a cracked vessel.
That's right.
Brother, He can use one, but why? He's the potter. You know what God can do? He can take that old broken vessel, man, and He can take that thing and wet that thing down and correct that thing and put that back together, and it holds water better than any other vessel you ever seen in your life. Man, wow, that's God doing that. So God gave the law. He's the one who can judge the soul and not man. And He said, "You're really not a doer of the law." I think it's, you don't have to turn, let me make sure this is the right verse, but I want to say it's Deuteronomy 8. Maybe verse 1, but let me read it here. "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." Yeah. It says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." He's saying, look, God's doing all this stuff to prove you. And part of it was not judging your brothers. God's able to do these things, and they're trying to put themselves in the place of a judge. Guess what? With us, it's God's place to judge.
Yeah.
If we leave the judging up to God, it'd be a whole lot better off with us.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you one thing that hurts people. They get over and you say, "Was that Paula?" He said, "Comparing yourselves among yourselves is not wise." One of the biggest things that happens with Christianity, they'll say, "Oh, so-and-so, well, maybe they may be able to look over there about you and say the same thing about you."
Amen.
So you know what we have to do? Let it be up to God. We'll close out with there, and I hope some of these things are being a help to you. But